guys. Welcome to Up the Coast with Alex and Britt. We are joined by the new leader of the pack. I'm sure she hasn't heard that one before, but new head coach at NC State, Coach Lindsay Lefwich. Little on her, past 12 seasons spent at LSU, where they made 10 NCAA regionals, 7 super regionals, 4 Women's College World Series, 2 finals, a lot of games in the postseason. Prior to that, 4 years at FIU with Coach Tarina. So 16 years with Beth Tarina. Makes the move to NC State as a head coach. I just have to ask, when you got into coaching, first day, you're like, hey, I'm going to go try this coaching thing. Was being a head coach an ultimate goal?
Never.
No.
I wanted nothing to do with being the boss, like sitting in this chair. You know, your wants and desires change over your coaching career, but I think you could have asked me this 2 years ago, and I still would have said I didn't want to be the boss. I just knew I was a good assistant for a reason, and a lot of the things that are my strengths are what makes assistants great. And I kind of, you know, I had a great situation and loved my people and my family that I had. And I just had no reason to want to leave. So sitting in this space was never something that was like the ultimate goal at all.
So when did that kind of turn for you? And what you said, your strengths as an assistant, how have they translated as the strengths as a head coach? That maybe you're like, oh yeah, I am a pretty damn good head coach. Yeah. These are good strengths to have as a head coach.
I think maybe like, I think probably it's this way for a lot of females. If you're not like super type A and driven, I think we're a lot better at like knowing what we're not good at than always knowing what we're good at. And, you know, I'm not super logistically driven. I don't care what shirt we wear on whatever day. Like just tell me what time to show up. You know, like I don't need to run the schedule. And like those are some of the things that like Beth is so good at and loves so much. You know, she's an only child and that's where she wanted to live. And it's not something that I needed. And so I think for the longest time I was like, oh, I'm not good at those things, or I don't like those things. And, you know, you have this idea of what you think the boss is supposed to be like. And I just never felt like I fit it. But I hired a staff around me that's really good at all these things that I don't care about. Not necessarily that I'm not good at. I just don't care. I would much rather be talking to you about your dog or what happened last night at whatever, what pair of shoes you're wearing, and then coaching your softball at the same time. And I think that, you know, I just had to put good people around me that could do some of those things. And then I think ultimately, you know, it just was the right opportunity at the right time. It was going to take a lot of things to get me to leave. I loved where I was and I had no reason to go somewhere, but I just know that like the things that are happening at NC State are happening fast, and it's happening with female sports, and you know they're pouring resources and money and all of these things into athletics here, and I think that I instantly saw a space where I could be successful.
Athletics department, 2 Final Fours, that's got to be exciting your first year.
Yeah, it was so cool, you know, and us, we office out of Reynolds where women's basketball functions at, and so just kind of getting to be a part of watching them grow and watching them go from being unranked in the beginning of the year and getting picked 8th in the conference to like just going on a run and you know like really only caring about what happened within their circle and not getting mixed up in the noise of the media or whatever's happening outside. And so that was really cool to watch them kind of like develop in that space, you know. And then you have women's cross country who just won their 3rd national championship in a row, like things that most people don't even realize are happening, you know. You got women's gymnastics who just won the ACC and wrestling who just won the ACC. And so like we've won more ACC championships this year than some other ACC programs have won across the board, like in their entire time in the ACC. And so I think it's really neat to be a part of Wolfpack athletics right now.
Yes, NC State is trending upward for sure. I'm sure watching the women make that run after you said they were picked lower in the conference preseason, just as your team watches them too, getting that firsthand look has got to be inspirational. But you said you surrounded yourself with the right people when you're becoming head coach. Can you kind of walk us through that selection of your assistants?
Yeah, that was really important to me. Before I ever even told NC State yes, I called Paige Cassidy, who I hired as my pitching coach. Paige actually pitched for Beth and I when we coached at FIU.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we've put out a lot of assistants in my time with Beth and people that are all across the country doing really great things. And the pitching people that Beth has put out that, you know, is too many to count at this point. And I knew that I wanted somebody who was going to work like her and like whatever, just from a comfort space for me. And so out of all the people that Beth has put out, I think Paige is the most like her logistically, philosophy wise, like those kinds of things. They're really similar. And that was like such an easy like need for me to fill. And so I wanted to make sure that like I was really solid in who I was hiring for pitching before I ever went down this road, because I've watched my friends all across the country struggle to hire pitching coaches and keep them and let them, you know, like flourish in spaces. And so I did that right away. And then when the opportunity came for me to hire Mike Bosch, that was like such an easy decision. One, he knows pitching too.
So I was going to say, you have two pitching coaches.
I have another. And then, you know, and then two, he just like, he's so even all the time. Like he doesn't have these big highs or big lows, which like me being a first-time head coach, I needed somebody who was going to like just be a realist. And, you know, he was a head coach for 16 years. And so that was like something that was important, because I knew that he sat in the seat and he's had these conversations and he's seen things unfold. And I really needed that. And then, and you know, he just kind of looks at things differently. He's really, really smart. He was a math professor before he was ever a college coach.
I did not know that.
Yeah. And so he's like, he's great at the numbers and he's great at like just looking at things from a different view. And he doesn't get super emotionally wrapped up in decisions. And so he's like, no, she's hitting higher. She should be hitting here. And, you know, and you need that, like you need just that like dose of realism. And so, he was easy for me to want to go and get. And then I heard Grayson Radcliffe in my fourth spot, and she has been like such a massive blessing. I didn't know Grayson at all. And so I, we had a couple of conversations. I talked to Shauna Stanton about her, and it was just like, she was like the perfect version of exactly what I needed. She was like me 10 years ago. You know, she's the kid who's got all the juice and all the energy and is going to meet them where they are. And like, we're going to be taking defense and she's going to sprint out next to my shortstop and take a ground ball with her. She's still playing professionally in the league. And so that's kind of giving her an opportunity to like, you know, have some credibility with them right away and be able to do all the things they're doing. And then on top of that, like just be this really cool, like positive, solid influence. Like she's the kid that you want your players to be just like. She was Big Ten Woman of the Year twice in her time at Indiana. Like she's kind of seen all the things. And then I didn't know this when I hired her. I really got lucky. She's from this side of the country. Grew up in outside of Virginia, spent some time in North Carolina. So she knows everyone over here. So that was like really good for us from a recruiting space, from all those things. Like she just has a bunch of connections that we didn't have yet, because, you know, Bosch had been in Florida for so long. And, you know, I had covered Louisiana, Texas, California, and I hadn't spent a ton of time on the East Coast. And so that was a really, really good get for us that I didn't know I was getting.
Love that. Real quick, I just want to, you know, I'm using my red mode today, NC State Wolfpack red. I don't know the formal color of your guys' school.
Can you do that?
Of course I can.
Okay, good. Just making sure. It's not Garnet, so I didn't know.
I'm for everybody. Yeah, it's okay. I just want the ACC to win. So we've been pulling for you. I joked when I was calling your games that you guys were mine and Britt's sleeper team, because you were just coming in and wrecking some people's days. But
yeah, we're screwing up some people's seasons.
You're just absolutely screwing it up. Yeah, you're just like, okay, here, like, let's see what we're made of. So, but you mentioned Coach Bosch, and, you know, something in the game that has actually always been prevalent in my life has been men in the space, men in the sport. How important was it for you to bring, because you said he's very rational, very transactional in that way. Of course, I'm sure he's great on the culture too, but what has that meant? Because that's always been my experience too with the male coaches that are surrounded by strong female leaders as well.
I that was like a huge priority. Like I needed to hire a male. I think that for all of us as female athletes, none of us played for females until we got to college. Maybe we played for a high school female coach, maybe, but all of our travel ball coaches were males. All of our hitting coaches were males. Like, we only played for males. And so, and then you know how all of us want to please our dad because we spend so much time at the field with our dad. I think that, like, having someone like him who is a father, who's been in those spaces, who understands all that stuff, I think is really important because they relate to him differently. They want to please him differently. Like, they get really emotional when I talk to them because of whatever, but they, like, don't want to disappoint him. Right. You know, and I think that that is huge. And I think he just reaches them in a different space. And yeah, that was like hiring the pitching coach first and then hiring a male second was exactly what I wanted to do. And I was really lucky that I got to do that.
So you got your coaching staff together. Now you get on campus, time to get to work. What was your main priority once you got on campus and around the team?
I think right off the bat, I had to know who we were and what we were. And NC State had experienced a ton of turnover, not just from a coaching staff perspective, but from a player perspective. I mean, like, if you look at some of the people in the country right now that are just out crushing people, like Estelle Check and Sam Gress and all these kids who started here at NC State and didn't stay, you know, and so, like, we had a team who was used to things just being different all the time and different people all the time. Culture of, like, anything that was athlete-led at all. So it was important for me to just kind of find out who they were. When I got the job, no one left. Like, no one went in the portal. And I think that says a lot about, like, how they feel about NC State. Like, they love Raleigh, and they want to be here, and they want to grow this place. And so we spent some time just with some of them individually, like before school started, and then just spent some time trying to get to know them as humans and kind of see like where they wanted to be, where we were headed, what kind of people we had. And so then from there, we just knew that we needed to like set a standard of culture right away. And like, that's such a buzzword, culture, but at the end of the day, like, if it's not happening from within, then it's not happening. And so we needed to make sure that like they understood what our expectations were, and that we had enough clarity in that, and then in turn that the standard would always be the standard. And I think that that's something that they were a little bit, that like it wasn't like this moving goalpost of like, oh, I need you to do this and then I need you to do this. No, like, I need you to be these things and I need you to be them all the time. And when you're not, we're going to hold you accountable to it, and we're going to love you through it. And when you are, we're going to celebrate that. And so once we kind of set that like in motion, a lot of it kind of took care of itself. But we definitely had to like get going in the right direction first.
When I spoke with you about your series in Tallahassee that I covered, you know, one of the things that stuck out to me in our conversation, but I have always felt this way about you, because I feel like you've always been like around, like anything big, you're always there. And I'm just like, Lindsay is just everywhere. Like you're kind of just like a fan of the sport, no matter who and what it is. And I always have admired that, because I feel like I'm very much the same as is Britt. And one of the things you said in our conversation was you just want your kids to love the game of softball as much as you do. So how has that impacted your leadership styles as an assistant coach, now head coach, and how has that driven you to create and redefine your program?
Yeah, I think, you know, I love this thing that we get to do. Like, it's a game, and like I get paid to play catch every day. Like, how cool is that, you know? And I think that so many times, like when we're in the heart of this season and the heart of the fall, like it just feels like a job to them sometimes, and like something that they're just supposed to like check off the list. And I wanted them to understand like that this thing is so fun when you make it fun. Even when it's hard, it's fun. Like, the heart is what makes it great, you know? And I think like I was pretty smart, was really good in school. I changed majors 57 times because nothing challenged me. And it's because I didn't want to be a doctor. Like, that would have challenged me. I was like an art major and a psych major, things like that. But like softball is the only thing that's ever challenged me. Like, it's the only thing that like has been hard, you know? And I think that once like I found out that I was supposed to be here and I was supposed to do this softball thing, like I knew that I had an opportunity to like change people's lives through like this game. And like, that's so cool, right? Like, Billy Graham has some quote that he talks about how a single coach touches more people in a year than most people do in their lifetime. And I think that like we have such a cool opportunity to impact people through a game, and like you guys calling games and being on the network, and like you get to touch on these really cool stories and change people's lives outside of things. I think why wouldn't you want to be right in the middle of it? You know, there's some coaches out there who coach their own team and live in this little bubble, and like they get really wrapped up in like that kind of thing. But how cool was the Texas Oklahoma game the other night? Like, that thing was unreal fun. There's like 4,000 people there, some guy with a freaking horn in the outfield every 5 seconds, and it felt like a Mexican soccer game. It was so loud and so crazy, and like, that's this thing that we get to do, you know? And I think that like getting them to see that and feel that and understand that, like when we go on the road and we're watching, like we're eating dinner, like we're not just eating dinner in silence. Like, I just put a game on, you know, because like the more you know about softball and the more you talk about softball, the more you love this thing. And I want them to feel that way. And it starts from them feeling great about themselves and how they feel on the field, and you know, the confidence that they get in that space. And then the more that they buy into that, they buy into like the cool gifts that softball gets to bring us.
Yeah. Can you elaborate just a little bit more on that and some of the life lessons that you feel like you've learned or been a part of throughout the game? Because, I mean, I could go on forever, as I know Brooke could too. So what are the things that it has shown you about life?
Man, like, I think one of the coolest things is, like, your situation is there's always something good in it. you know, like you find what you're looking for all the time. And I think that, like, you know, you get a kid who blows a knee and like their whole life is over is how they view it. But like, as much as people talk about like softball isn't who you are, and I fully believe that I am I'm a daughter of Christ and a sister and all of these things, like I fully know that it's not my full identity, but at the same time it is who I am. It's like what I do in my everyday, and it envelops my whole life. And so no, like it's not my only identity piece, but in that it's a massive part of me. So like getting them to understand that, like, when you have this major injury or when you have something that happens, like, you have more, and there's more in it, and there's going to be good in it. But yeah, you have this like loss that you have to deal with a little bit, and you have to mourn that loss and figure out how to deal with that. But like on the backside of that loss, like what is there, and like what cool things show up, you know? And I think that, like, as weird as, like, somebody always has it worse. I think that, like, there's so much perspective in, like, sure, do I wish my cages were bigger, and do I wish that, like, I didn't have to walk across the street to get to my field? Yes. But at the end of the day, like, I've played at a lot of worse places and I've played at a lot of better places. Like, there's so much cool things happening if you choose to see it that way. And there's so much positive if you choose to see it that way. And I think softball is like just this really cool reminder and melting pot that, like, this whole thing is just a game. It's a gift. And my life outside of softball, like, I get to take all of these things that I've learned about grit and leadership and work. And at the end of the day, it like takes what it takes, right? Like, no matter what's going on in my life, whether I've got to figure out how to field a ground ball, or I have to figure out how to like want to get up in the morning because my kid is sick and I have 102 fever too, you know, like I watch Paige, who has two kids, like do those things and yet still come to work with this like juice and energy that's like so inspiring. And I want my players to understand and feel those same things. Like, I want them to be better women and better people and better doctors and whatever they want to do with their life. And it's so cool that I get to be a part of that, and that I get to kind of grow them in that space. But I think, you know, one of the biggest lessons that I've learned in this whole thing is, like, while softball might not be my full identity, it 100% is this massive part of me. And, like, that's such a cool gift. And I just want to share that with people.
That's an incredible perspective, and I'm glad that you did.
Yeah,
I'm glad that you shared that with us. That's awesome. A little more about on the dirt kind of stuff. The Wolfpack have really been messing up some people's days during your first season. You've got ranked wins over Clemson, Northwestern, South Carolina this past weekend. You took the first game from a hot hitting Virginia Tech. What are you most proud of from your team at this point in the season?
I think I'm just most proud of the fact that, like, they're finally figuring out how to, like, not listen to all the noise that happens outside. Like, they spent an entire year of people telling them that they weren't any good. As far as, like, you don't have a coach, you're not supposed to win, you're all of this stuff in this, like, in this transition period that they went through, you know. And then they spent an entire summer wondering who was going to be the coach. And then they got me, and they spend this fall just wondering, like, okay, what is she really going to be? Can we trust she's going to be who she says she is? Can we whatever? And so, like, there's just been this transition of everyone having an opinion about, like, them and what they're doing. And I'm most proud that I think finally they're in this place where they, like, only care about what we say, not we, like my staff, but like we as a group of the Wolfpack. And like we care about what's happening in our circle, and it's earmuffs and blinders to everything else. And like, when you outbelieve people, great things show up. And when you prepare, like, you know, you can play with someone, great things show up. And I think that, like, it, you know, it like them rolling out and putting six up in Clemson in the first inning, like when we roll up to play our first ACC game, they're like, wait a second, like, maybe coach is right, maybe we are good, you know. And like, so that was kind of like this, like, little, like, we can do this. And then we get to the South Carolina weekend and we beat South Carolina and Northwestern, and they're like, oh, I remember what it felt like when we beat Clemson. And so, like, now we're finally in this space where they're like, we can do this. Now, do we still have some holes and some things we need to fill in from a growth perspective? Yes. And, like, are we light in some spots because of injury here or because of whatever? Sure. But at the end of the day, like, what a cool testament to, like, just their continued level of growth, of belief in themselves, and then in turn in the people around them. And I think that that's just kind of what's given us an opportunity to, like, continue to, like, plug away. It, just because somebody's supposed to beat you doesn't mean that they're going to win. You know, like, you got to show up and just be your best version of you.
Yeah, it's so true, right? Because we've all been on the other side where we were the people that were supposed to win and you just don't because you didn't show up that day. So let's talk kind of segueing into that piece that you were just talking about, goal setting. Like, how did you guys, do you have short-term goals, like with just the next couple weeks? Do you have year one goals, year three goals, long-term goals? How have you done that? And do you mind sharing any of the goals of the team or even yourself?
I think we really tried actually to not set goals. Brian Cain's our mental performance coach, and he talks about that all the time. Like, if you set these big goals and then you don't meet them, does that mean everything that came on the way to those goals did meant nothing? Like, we think about that as humans all the time. We're like, oh, I didn't reach my goal, I must have failed. And it's not about failing. It's about learning, and it's about growing in all those spaces. And I think that, like, you learn it, we've learned as much in our wins as we have in our losses. And sometimes, you learn a little more in your losses. But I think from an overall, like, direction standpoint and trying to get there, I think right off the bat, we had to, like, set the standards, and we did that with them, and we kind of let them feel like they got to be a part of that. We sent out this big culture survey to, like, all the previous head coaches, to anyone that was directly involved with our team, to all of our alumni, and we said, hey, like, what are the three things you think this team needs? And then the current team filled it out too. So then we took all of those things and we kind of bucketed them into, like, okay, this means integrity, or this means accountability, or whatever. And then we sat with the team and we were like, what do you see? What words stand out to you? How do we define these words? And then in turn, how do we live up to those definitions? I kind of knew where I wanted to head. I knew that I wanted to spell a word that, like, they could remember, and I just helped guide them there. So we ended up with work, ownership, love, and fight, which spells wolf. And then they all know the definitions. They all know the mission. Like, we're trying to win the state. We're trying to win 40 games. We're trying to do all these things on this stair step to, at the end of the day, we want to graduate from NC State, and we want to live wolf for life. Like, we wanted that to be as much a part of who they are internally and outside of softball as it is on the field with softball. Because when you're living right off the field, it's so easy to do things right on the field, right? And that was, like, a huge part of, like, just growing them in that space. So once we kind of got our standards set and we knew where we were headed, then it was just like, okay, like, how do we make sure that, like, you're so bought into the process that, like, when we do fail, because we are gonna fail in this year of, like, growing and like rebuilding in this space, that, like, you don't feel like a failure, And I know that it's hard. Like, they spent a year of losing. And like last night we got run ruled, and we talked to a kid after, and she's just like, I'm tired of feeling this way. I'm like, okay, like, so what do we do to go back to work? Because you can't change the outcome of that, but you can change how you work this week. And then them buying into the work and the process of that work, and when they don't get the outcome, knowing that, like, that work is still stacking to good things. Beth always tells me that it's like, it's not the 100th blow that breaks the rock, it was the 99 before. And so, like, it's just like that great reminder of, like, you have to keep going and keep going and keep going. And when you finally figure it out, like, when we finally, we beat Virginia Tech not just once, but twice. Like, when you get that second win, like, it was the 99 things that came before that you did in the week that led up to that. But if you don't get it, like, don't just throw out the 99 things that came before. But ultimately, like, I think that we've already proven that even with, a team that has some holes because of injury and because of some other things, that, like, we're still good enough to play with people, and that's a great reminder for them that, like, they're enough, that, like, you as a human is enough, you as a softball player is enough, and can we keep growing and getting better? Sure, but you're still enough, because they spent a year of thinking that they were less than and not enough. But I mean, I don't see any reason why, a year from now, 2 years from now, we're in the top five and we're fighting for an ACC championship. And I mean, we rolled out and played with Florida State the other night and should have won game one, and we gave it away, and had a chance to win game three and we gave it away, like, so we're, like, right on the edge, and I just need them to, like, keep going.
Yeah, L learning how to win is a difficult thing, how to close out games. But I really like what you said, because last year was a struggle for these players, and I covered them pretty closely or followed them, and I just felt my heart hurt for them, honestly. Like, I felt bad, but they fought. They fought all to the end. They were so close to making the ACC tournament at Pitt. And they were fighting. And if you don't know the story, if you're listening, their coaching staff was let go, released mid-season. The director of ops had takeovers as a head coach. It was just a lot for these players to go through. And I always looked at them as fighters from the outside. Yeah. And I still see that today. Like when they go and play and they're down, I feel like there's always fight and there's always a chance for this team to come back. So that's my two cents from an outsider. I love seeing it. And Alex and I said earlier this year that, you know, our sleeper team. But I, before we finish up, I want to get your thoughts on the ACC as a whole. So how's your experience been with the ACC?
I think the ACC is going to shock the world in like less than no time. You know, like everyone's talking about the SEC and all the things they're doing. And I was a part of it for a really long time. So I know that it's good. And I know that the direction they're headed is going to continue to grow. But from an ACC perspective, for the longest time, it was like, oh, okay, well, Florida State figured it out. But what about everyone else? You know, but everyone else is now here. Like it's happening and it's going to change instantly. Like you see that, like Duke is smashing right now. Like no one can keep them in the ballpark. And then on top of that, they have like a 1 point, whatever team ERA, like they're off the charts good. You got Virginia Tech, who's been on the come up for the last couple of years and like really breaking through. Now they can't just, they're not just great hitters with one pitcher. Now they have like a complete staff and they've hit 80 home runs. You're welcome. And we're in that space, you know, like, I just think that like the ACC is no longer this team that's just like, it's just like a one league team, you know, like I think that we are here. And I think that, you know, as things continue to develop from with everyone, I think you're going to continue to see the whole group grow, you know, rising tides raise all boats. And that's kind of where we are. We're, you know, that the better Florida State and Clemson and Virginia Tech and Duke and all those teams are, the better the bottom gets too, you know? And I think that we are there. And I lived that with the SEC, like back in 2012, like it was like the top and then it was everyone else, you know? And now you have 13 teams that get into the postseason because all of the teams are competitive and all the teams have put themselves in a place to be successful. And I think that we are right there on the bubble with that.
Do you now feel our pain just a little bit kind of actually being ingrained in ACC specifically, where the SEC, it just means more? Like, does it hurt at all now a little? I mean, I know it's like in your blood. Come on.
I mean, I get it. I do get it 1,000%. Yeah, like, you know, like I do get like the like, hey, like what, like Duke just knocked off the number one team in the country. Can someone talk good about them too? And right. Not just about Alabama. I do get that now for sure.
I've got another question, not necessarily softball related, but you're into shoes, right? Like I always remember seeing your post online when you go recruiting, what your shoe game was that day. You were in Nike school. You're at Nike forever, making the transition to Adidas. How's it been?
It's taken a little longer than I would have liked. mostly because like I didn't have closet space yet because I'm renting. So that's, you know, it's been a slow build. But the cool thing about Adidas is all of their like 1984 like forums and that kind of stuff, those are awesome and they're like half the price of the Jordans. And so I'm super fired up about that. And the last couple of weeks I've gotten some really cool dad shoes for recruiting. Mm-hmm. Adidas has some really cool ones right now that I'm really pumped about.
So what are dad shoes?
You know, like I have some on my feet right now. You know these guys, like the old school.
Oh, okay.
They're the old school, yeah. Okay. Like the bulkier style. Yeah, they're coming back in little, for sure.
You know, New Balance has those like 90-60s out right now. They're super cool. Yes. But yeah, so it's been a slower transition, but I already have like quality like 6 pair saved up for summer recruiting. So we're coming. You know, you gotta make sure that you got them ready. Like you can roll out to Colorado and wear a different pair every day. It's kind of fun. You know?
Right. Wow. I feel like we should invest in some Adidas and then just send them to coach and be like, hey, look.
We're an Adidas family. This is my first year as being an Adidas family now.
Okay, so you can call me. We can talk about it.
I would like, I think I found some really cool, like you were saying, like the throwback stuff coming. I didn't know about the dad shoes, but I found some really good stuff.
Sambas are really coming back right
now. Yeah,
and so those are, everyone's loving those. And again,
so popular.
You can get a pair of Sambas for like $65. Mm-hmm. So I would much rather do that.
Yeah. I, no sleeping on Adidas here.
Good stuff.
But
well, Coach, thank you guys so much for joining us. We appreciate you, your SID, obviously setting this up. Great conversation. And we just want people to be able to see a little bit further in depth of the NC State program and the great things that you're doing with it. Because I know, obviously, you've got 2 fans in both Brittany and I. We can't say enough good things about what we see with what you guys are really putting together. So we're super proud that you're part of the ACC specifically, because you have been such a great addition and advocate of our game the last several years. And We're really excited to see just everything you guys continue to do, and we're in your corner. We're pulling for the Wolf Pack, so we really appreciate you taking the time. And I think it's like this, right? Go Pack.
Yeah, you
gotta
go
is
Pack.
The Pack.
Yeah,
Okay,
I
I
like
think
it. I
we're
like it.
here.
Thank you guys so much. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Coach.
Thank
All right,
you.
talk to y'all soon.
Best of luck.
See ya.